This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Jokic for a triple. Money!
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Kick out three, Murray. Good! Nothing but net.
They would high five across my face.
You're going to have better seats for game five, Terrell Davis.
I hope that's the play.
Earlier on the show, NFL Network insider Tom Pelissero, Golf Channel analyst Brandel Chambly, 20-year NBA veteran Jamal Crawford. Coming up, Seahawks wide receiver DK Metcalf, actor Harold Perrineau. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Yes. Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show on the air. We're live on the Roku channel, and that is free on all Roku devices, select Samsung Smart TV, Amazon Fire TVs. We're free on the Roku app, therokuchannel.com. If you missed any of our first 2 hours of this program, we had a welfare check on Brandel Chambly of the of Golf Channel. Talking about the latest of the LIV and PGA Tour merger, a really deep, interesting, fascinating conversation. Hour number two, we had Jamal Crawford on this program to talk about NBA Finals Game 3 with the Nuggets looking like a championship team like they did in game number one. Triple doubles like Oprah giving away cars. And and so Jamal spoke about that and the future of Damian Lillard, potentially. If you missed any of that, along with Tom Pelissero of NFL Network about why Dalvin Cook got released, I gave you my top five destinations. Those are the first 2 hours. Jam-packed. If you missed it, we re-air right away on the Roku channel, channel 210, throughout the rest of the day. The actor Harold Perrineau, who I've known for many, many years, and big fan of his work from Oz, also from Lost, just to name a couple of shows. You saw Mike Del Tufo the other day. Romeo and Juliet was on the.
Yes, it actually was on like late. I was like, oh my God, I forgot. I watched.
You did?
Great movie.
It is. And he was in that back in 1996 when I first started on SportsCenter. So Harold's been at it for a while. He's in the new season of From, currently in season two, airing Sundays, 9 p.m. Eastern on MGM Plus, which you can get right here on Roku. So lots of ways to follow. But we kick off hour number three with one of our favorites. He's a pro bowler. He's an all pro. And he's always a treat to have call into this program as he is here. Top of June. Lots to talk about with Seattle Seahawk wide receiver DK Metcalf back here on the show. How you doing, DK?
I'm doing pretty good, man. How you doing?
I'm doing great. What's going on in your world? What's happening? What's happening?
This is the second day of mini camp, so okay. I'm back up in Seattle right now. Offense is looking pretty good. Defense is looking damn good. Special teams, you know, they're kicking it around. And, you know, everything is going smooth around this time of year.
All right, I need you to be my Seattle Seahawk reporter for a moment, if you don't mind.
I got you.
How's 54 looking? Bobby Wagner back in the mix. How's he looking?
Oh, man, he's looking right where you need to be, man. In a Seahawks uniform and a Seahawks helmet, and he's leading everybody, you know, around the building. Just great to see a lot of young guys get to see him, learn from him, just to be around him, just to, you know, understand how to be a professional, you know, like I had the opportunity to do my first few years.
Isn't it interesting somebody who's technically new to the team can go here, can come in and say, I got this, and
exactly.
Everyone
yes, sir. Step right in and yeah. Not even hiccup.
Yeah. So what do you mean he's leading people? I know what it right. means, but what does it look like? Tell me what it looks like.
I mean, just he doesn't say much, but when he does talk, people just listen. and just how he goes about his day. I mean, he works out at 7 in the morning, and he's in meetings first with a notebook, notepad, pencil. He's just very, very attentive, and he's just a professional anytime he's on the field or whenever he's talking to coaches, and he's just in his 10th year, you know, 10-time Pro Bowl, 10-time All-Pro, and he's still, you know, able to listen to coaches and be coached. So I think this is something that the young guys can learn from.
That's awesome. I mean, he's going to have a jacket one day. You and I both know it as we're
for
sitting
sure,
here.
Yes, sir.
I mean, so and the Prez, how's the Prez doing? What's Jamal Adams looking like? Right now.
Man, just to have him back over here, you can feel his energy. You can feel he wants to be back out there, but, you know, he's still rehabbing a little bit. So, you know, can't wait to get him back out there. He's looking, I mean, all smiles. He said his rehab is going pretty good during the offseason. So, looking forward to going against him and, you know, having him back out there during training camp.
It's like old school vibes, even though it's still recent, right? I mean, the Prez
exactly.
is walking around and Bobby Wagner's walking around and And, you know, Lockett's walking around. You're walking around. Obviously, you got your coach. So the vibe has got to feel pretty damn good coming off of a season few expected you to do. DK, right?
Exactly, yes, sir. I know Pete's like a kid in the candy shop right now. He's got all his pieces, all his kids around the building. You know, we're all working hard. And, I mean, practice feels like a training camp practice right now without the hitting and, you know, everybody getting tangled up going after the ball. But, you know, guys are still out there competing. And you can feel it. You can tell that the young guys that they just drafted are coming in here to make a statement, and they're hungry.
And then Gino, it's his team, as opposed to last year at this point in time. And there's no disrespect to Drew Locke, who was also there in the competition. But this is his squad now, and I'm wondering how that feels from your perspective.
I mean,
DK,
just to have him back for another year. You know, last year how he, you know, had the season that he did, and then coming back this year, and he's knowing that he's going to be the starter going into next year without, you know, gray area in the QB room. But, I mean, it's just great to see him out here leading the offense, leading the team, and getting up talking during the offensive meetings and trying to lead us. You know, we're verbally communicating and communicating out on the field. And, you know, we still got a little learning curve to get over right now. But, I mean, Gino's looking great out there.
I mean, and again, I know it's June, but, you know, I'm already getting the sense here, certainly from my position sitting in a, you know, seat like this, the one on NFL Network, it's just it's a very 49er-centric conversation still in this division. And I'm wondering if you feel overlooked. Do you feel you're properly looked at? What's your sense of that, DK Metcalf?
Oh, man, that's not for us to decide. You know, everybody has their opinions. Everybody, you know, has their predictions of what we're going to do this year. And my only response to that is to just keep letting them overlook us. And you see what happened last year. So, you know, keep doing it.
Okay, keep doing it. DK Metcalf here on the Rich Eisen Show. Let's talk about you a little bit here. Did you dunk on anybody in the All-Star game weekend?
No, sir. All mine were breakaway dunks.
Okay. None of that?
Yes,
none of that?
No. I had to make sure, you know, Pete and John could sleep good that night.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Understood. You just want to make sure that everything was copacetic there. Who'd you
exactly.
meet?
Yes, sir. Just going out there hooping a little bit.
Who'd you meet, DK? Who'd you meet at the All-Star weekend?
Had a chance to get to meet Kevin Durant, Travis Scott, Janelle Monae, 21 Savage. I mean, the list goes on and on. I had a great time while I was out there. I was out there the whole weekend and just took in, you know, the excitement, you know, starting from the All-Star game up until the actual All-Star game. And I just had a great time, you know, just meeting everybody out there. I was a big fan and a kid in the candy shop while I was out there.
I could see there. We're showing a photograph right here of you lifting a trophy, DK. You lifted it.
Yes, sir. That trophy actually got stolen.
What?
I was going to give it to my mom.
What happened?
It got stolen from in transit to Mississippi, so who knows what happened.
Hold on a second. Here's the deal. We you know, I'm not saying we can make things happen all the time, but did you reach out to the NBA saying, give me another? Can I get another one? I mean, can we get you another?
No, I mean, I'm a football player, so I didn't feel right reaching out to the NBA, you know, asking for another trophy. I didn't feel like that was my lane.
What if I did it? What if I did it for you?
Take care of it.
What if I got in that lane for you? What if I did that?
I mean, you know, I can't tell you what to do, Rich.
Okay. No, I understand that, nor would I tell you what to do, but we got to replace this thing. We got to play.
Yes,
you know, I don't know if this speaks to me and my shallowness or whatever. Of all the names that you mentioned, Janelle Monae is the one I want to follow up on. you know, what was your conversation with her like, DK?
Oh, no, she just told me. So I walk in the locker room.
Yep.
And she was like, okay, here's the deal. You look like the tallest on the team right now, so let's practice you lifting me up so I can dunk the ball. we can't do that right now. I'm not a cheerleader. We ain't gonna do that.
Okay.
Actually, nobody gets hurt. So
okay.
That was pretty much the talk of the conversation. But when we got out there, she just congratulated me after, you know, we won and saw that I got the MVP and the night went on.
Well, yeah, and she wore Jordan's number because she's a GOAT. Is that why she wore Jordan's number? She wore 23.
Yes, sir.
Okay, very good.
I think she wore that because of Jordan, but, you know, it was kind of hard to see because she's like 5'1 or something like that. Calvin Johnson blocked their shot, and everybody started booing.
Oh, no. I didn't know that he did that.
That was the funniest thing.
What? Yes, Calvin did that to her?
I mean, he didn't know how to turn it off. He
Oh, my God. That was a very Jim Schwartz moment with you and Calvin Johnson.
Exactly.
DK, I don't want to go in that direction because, you know.
We're going to leave that way.
Well, let's leave that alone. Very good. I got DK Metcalf here on the Rich Eisen Show. What's the scoop with your acting? How's that going? What's going on there?
It's going pretty good right now. I had a chance to sit down with a few producers, Greg Silverman, this offseason.
Oh.
And just been shadowing him. Over at his office and
yes.
trying to learn and soak up as much knowledge as I can. So that's my how's my off season been?
Okay.
In that world, yes, sir.
I know him. I know Greg DK. Again, there's just listen. You and I need to be in more constant contact because you'd have already been starring in a movie by now, and you'd have a replacement trophy. You know what I mean? Like
yes,
this
sir.
Is we need. Honestly, I just want to make your life better. What do you mean? What have you picked up shadowing Greg and being around this town, DK? What have
yes,
you picked
sir.
Up?
Well, my first time meeting him, I sat in his office and he took me over to his bookshelf and he was showing off. I can tell because the movies that I was naming, my jaw kept dropping.
Okay.
From 300 to Happy Feet to Malibu's Most Wanted. So I was like, oh, yeah, so you're a big dog in the industry. And then we got to talk about me and my accomplishments and what were my goals in the acting space. And he just told me that he was going to be a helping hand whenever I needed it. And we had a couple Zoom calls of him just walking me through, you know, my next steps of what kind of movies do I want to go in and what does he have, coming up for me to star in. So just be on the lookout for me coming up in a Greg Silverman movie.
Okay. Okay.
Yes,
very
sir.
Good. Very good. I'm excited to see what you want to do outside of football as you're dominating, you know, the sport. And so was it acting? There we go. DK Metcalf. Was it acting or real, that video of you jumping in the air and snagging that ball where it looked like you jumped 10 feet in the air? Is that acting?
Yeah, that was me, and that was real.
That was real. That's not fake, because everyone's thinking that's got to be fake.
Yeah, everybody's going to think that, yeah. But no, that's actually me catching the ball.
You grab – how far did you get off the ground, do you think? Huh?
Hold on, my bad. It was a guy asking me. No, I'm not signing nothing. it was a guy walking by asking me if I was going to sign my stuff. But
okay, no worries.
No, that was actually me jumping up. I jumped up like 6 feet.
Your vertical was 6 foot right there in that video. Okay. All right.
I have no idea. I didn't have a measuring tape or vertical thing. But, yeah, that was me.
But that's real. So that wasn't
yes,
acting.
Sir.
That was okay.
No, that wasn't me acting, no.
So what do you think when people are asking, wondering if that's real then, DK? What do you think?
I mean, I'd leave it up to them because I know the truth. If they want to continue to question me, then, that's them.
Okay. All right, DK. I miss chatting with you. When you're in Los Angeles, let me know, will you please?
All right, yes, sir, I will.
Let me know what's going on.
I'm going to get your number from Jeff.
Let's do it. Let's do it. Let's do it. You take care of yourself, DK Metcalf. Thanks for the time. You go be you, and we'll chat again soon down the line.
All right, yes, sir. Appreciate you.
You got it. That is the Pro Bowl, wide receiver, DK Metcalf from the Seattle Seahawks. I just love
All right,
showing
a couple things.
Yes. What's your takeaways?
Number one, I need to know what someone was asking him to sign.
Yes. What was it that I'm not signing that?
Was it some memorabilia for somebody? Was it I was signing for lunch? I'm very confused.
What? No, I think it was an item. It's not signing for. It's not like somebody's walking up with a credit card.
Or like, hey, DK, I need you to cover this. Can you just sign this real quick? Like, what? No, I'm not signing that.
I'm not signing that.
What, like one of those devices that they bring the bill to the table for you? No.
Right.
No. I don't believe that's what's happening up there.
Maybe Pete is charging him
in Washington.
For pizza or something?
I don't think so. No, it's just an item he didn't want to. Now, was it the person that he didn't want to sign
or
for?
Or was it the item? Right. Mm-hmm. So many questions there. Number two. I love DK. I don't want to say anything to get him mad at me, but who's he kidding? That video was doctored.
I don't think so.
He
you
jumped,
think it was?
He jumped 8 feet off the ground.
So what?
so
that's
wet.
Literally setting the high jump rate. Then he should be an Olympian.
8 feet is like
okay.
No, nah, that's.
I mean,
that's like
maybe he can be. How? So, so hold on a second. Feet. So we're aware. So we're all on the record.
I'm watching okay. it right now.
This is on the record.
Okay.
You are currently questioning a physical feat from DK Metcalf. You are current openly.
One that I did not see in person.
Openly
or on live television. I'm questioning a video that went viral.
I know that.
Yes.
And I understand that you think that that means it's fake.
Yes. Remember when Steph Curry was throwing half court shots and made like five full court length? And made like five in a row.
You mean when I once texted Drew Brees, I hope you're not dead.
Right, exactly.
And then it took him all day to say I'm fine after one person after another said they got a text from Drew saying I'm okay.
Right.
That guy.
I'm saying.
Yeah.
Something went viral on the internet. Oh man, we should 100% believe that.
It's a DK Metcalf physical feat. You are openly questioning the guy who. Daniel Jeremiah once called the human bat suit.
Yes. I mean, can we zoom on me? He's 7 feet off the ground.
So?
Rich, then he should be an Olympian. He should not be playing football for Seattle. He should be representing the United States of America.
Why? He takes less
pay cut. In the Summer Olympics.
What, are you willing to cut his salary in half now?
I want him to win a gold medal if he can do this. I want him competing in the decathlon.
Hasn't he done something like that?
He did try to qualify in 100 meters.
Oh, okay. So that guy. Yeah.
I don't know. I saw it.
Look how high he is off the ground.
That could be an optical illusion.
You know, the way the camera's set
I'm with you.
Right?
You know, I'm with you. Hold on, Mike. Are you going to create a tie here? Because TJ and I say that's real. You say what? And DK Metcalf just said it's real.
Yeah. No. He said, I caught the ball.
He said it wasn't
acting. He didn't say it was him jumping. He said he caught the ball. He didn't say, again, guys, language. Language.
Well, all I know is I saw Decaf dunk about 16 times in that celebrity game, and I know that rim's 10 feet. So,
he could do that. I think that's real.
There you go.
You guys are out of your mind.
I think that is real. DK's got some
skills. I am the only one grounded.
Why are you so jaded? I'm not jaded.
I'm grounded in reality.
And you're so jaded, but not about the people you love.
Yeah, he's got a point there.
Rory McIlroy. Rory McIlroy, definitely. He's untouchable. He's untouchable, right? He's untouchable.
If Rory was in on it, like you are insinuating,
I'm not doing that.
Through your language that Rory was in on it.
No, that there are people that Rory's tight with that were in on it.
He is the best actor of all time. Like he should have multiple Academy Awards.
So, all I know is
again,
that
he should take a pay cut.
If I had a $500 million payday that I passed up on out of principle for a group of people that then turned around and took that team, those folks' money, I would be livid. I would be livid. And he's like, yeah, no, don't get on the commissioner.
I would say he's too exhausted from carrying everything.
I'm not saying publicly upset. By the way, I'm not saying thing. I'm just saying to you that you are jaded about everybody except people you love.
I'm saying when something goes viral, there's a reason.
Okay.
I'm saying DK Metcalf had a 40 and a half inch vertical at the combine. You were
and
there.
And that was like 70.
Let's take a break and bring on Harold Perrineau.
Harold's like, what's going on?
Yes, he is. I can guarantee you that. Men, do you get distracted during the day thinking about your underarms sweating, itching, or emitting an odor? Do those thoughts keep you from showing care when it counts? New and improved Dove Men Plus Care Antiperspirant with 72-hour sweat and odor protection and 1-quarter moisturizing cream helps you forget about your underarms so you can be present for the moments that matter. Don't let underarm insecurities keep you at arm's distance from the ones you care about. Buy new and improved Dove Men Plus Care Antiperspirant wherever personal care products are sold.
Get an insight. Inside Look at Hollywood with Michael Rosenbaum. Actress Kristen Ritter.
Your parents let you travel by yourself.
It was a different time.
They just put you on a train. As a 15-year-old girl, you went to New York.
I went on a bus, and I did get picked up at Port Authority. They thought I was a runaway.
What would they do?
They'd detain you and, like, get people on the phone, and then they finally let you go to your modeling job.
But how many times did it happen?
Once or twice.
It just seems like it wouldn't happen.
It happens, yeah.
Inside of You with Michael Rosenbaum. Wherever you listen.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger, with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger is the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by, as Harold Perrineau has done. And we just saw a fascinating clip from your show. What do you got for me, Harold?
You know, man, I that's the first time I've seen it, like, out of context.
Yes.
And I'm like, it's a ballerina, bro. What you so scared of? It's just a ballerina. It's just a nice little girl in a ballet dress.
That only you can see. In a creepy forest.
In a creepy forest. I'm just saying, as I was just looking at it, it made me laugh. I was like, you know, I'm from Brooklyn. Like, what are you scared of? What are you scared of, man?
Well, wait a minute. You've never seen a ballerina just come out of...
back in the day, I used to be that ballerina. So, I remember walking to the projects up there. Like, I went to the Alvin Ailey School.
Uh-huh.
And the first couple of times, I just wouldn't... Like, I put all my clothes back on. But then you're, like, going to school all the time. And sometimes you're just tired. Mm-hmm. And, like, you just get back and you got tights on and you're walking through. And dudes are like, you all right? I'm like, yeah, I know. I got tights. I know. They weren't scared. What happened?
So it's kind of a childhood memory we just brought back right here.
Childhood memory. It made me laugh. That was really funny.
From Brooklyn, New York.
Cypress Hills.
So what should folks know about From if they are just seeing that clip for the first time? What do you got for me on that?
Okay, so I got this for you. Look, From is it's a horror show, and so and the horror isn't ballerinas,
of course.
So just everybody should know that.
Mm-hmm.
So From is about a bunch of folks who are trapped in a town. And when you come across this tree, a down tree in the road, mm-hmm. you are already stuck in the town. All roads lead back to the town.
Yes.
And then at night, you're being hunted by, you know, these monsters. Nobody really knows what the monsters are, but they look like the ballerina, innocuous, really. A milkman, a ballerina, a farmer.
Mm-hmm.
And once they entice you, they get into your home and they tear your guts out.
Are you a horror movie guy?
Am not.
Neither am I.
Me? Yeah, no. No,
that's not my first choice.
My first choice either. Yeah, no. The thing that I love about this show in particular is that, like, we have all of those elements. So if you're a horror fan, you've got it all there. But really, it's a suspense thriller. Like, it's about the characters. It's about the people. It's about, like, these folks who are trapped in a desperate situation. And then, like, now how do you deal with it?
Mm-hmm.
What are you doing? And what I thought was cool about it when we first started doing it, it was just like toward the tail end of the pandemic,
mm-hmm.
when we were all trapped in our house, worried about a monster that was out there that we couldn't figure out.
Sure.
And there was nowhere to go.
Yeah.
That's exactly what this show, and then how people deal with that.
Uh-huh.
You know, some people are like, look, live like it's the end of, like it's your last day. And other people are like, there are rules. Let's follow the rules, mm-hmm. and we'll get through this together. And those dynamics play out in the show. So horror, but it's really, really interesting character.
How old are your kids again now?
So my oldest, Aurora, is 28 now.
Okay.
My younger two, Winter's 15. She just turned 15, and Holiday is 10.
Okay. And the reason why I ask is, Mike Hoskins, can you put the poster for From up on the screen here one more time? Because I see this all over town. Okay, so MGM MGM Plus is really pumping this out.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
And I see this, and I know you.
Yeah,
and I'm
yeah.
like, and the first time I saw this is I'm like, is that Harold?
Yeah.
And then this creepy dude. What do your kids think of that when they must invariably see this billboard all over town, Harold?
Yeah, so my youngest doesn't like to see it. She doesn't like it at all.
Yeah,
she hates it. And my older and middle ones, my oldest, she loves horror. So for her,
okay,
it's great. And so she likes going to see it. And I mean, if you see that and you see the other clip, you might think I'm just afraid of white people. Like, you might think, no. Like, this dude is scared of white, all white people. Like, looks like, but I'm not. No. I'm not. But yeah, my kids love it. Okay. My older two love it.
Right. I guess for the youngest, then maybe this could be a gateway to Oz. You know, like when she checks out your past work every
Again,
now and then.
Again, trapped in a horrifying situation.
That's one way to put it.
That they can't get out of.
That's one way to put it. Harold Perrineau here on the Rich Eisen Show. So how did you get started? You mentioned how you were a kid from Brooklyn who went to Alvin Ailey.
How did you
get started? What was your deal?
Yeah, I was I had an aunt who went to a Long Island University. You know this?
Sure, LIU.
Yeah, LIU. It was in Brooklyn, and she was there, and they had a program at the time that was like government funded when those things were still happening, and they had a program for kids to do theater, and so she took me and all my cousins en masse to go to this theater program called Of, By, and For, and for me, it stuck. Like, I got there, and it was like, oh, yeah, this is it. This is, I'm home. This is the thing I love to do. And so I just kept going. I did that. Then I went to college, this little college in Virginia called Shenandoah Conservatory.
Mm-hmm.
I stayed there for a couple of years. I got a little nervous about being there because I was like, I was a little worried about a musical theater degree.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, then I got a scholarship at the Alvin Ailey School. So I did the second half of my college year back in New York. I'd come back. There were a bunch of people in Virginia who were saying, where are you from? I'm like, New York. And they were like, wait, you're doing theater in Virginia? And you're from New York?
Well, that's off. That's way off Broadway.
Yeah. And, right. And for me, what was really actually, it was one of the best things to ever happen to me because where I was from in Brooklyn, Broadway was about as far as Virginia. Like it felt that far away. Do you know what I mean?
Sure.
And so it actually took me going to Virginia to kind of realize, you know, all the things that were in New York that I hadn't really been paying attention to yet.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And so it was actually a great segue for me to get back and get.
What was your first big break then? What was your big break, Harold?
Man, I don't even know what we'd call a big break anymore. Like you know, like I remember the first time I was on the Cosby Show, or like I was like I did every Law and Order that you know every iteration of Law and Order you can. You
What's
know?
The worst thing you did on Law and Order?
The worst thing I did. I think the last time I was in Law and Order, I was an old rapist who was in a wheelchair or something.
Oh, my God.
I know. It's terrible.
Is that what they put you in Oz for?
No, I got the job because I had done Oz.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
So you were on Law and Order while you were doing Oz?
No. So it was the last time I was on Law and Order. I've been on it a million times. So I would guess my first sort of big break was I did Romeo and Juliet, right?
Yes, we were talking about that before.
Oh, were you? With Baz Luhrmann. And so that sort of helped when Tom Fontana was casting Oz. They were looking for somebody who was kind of wacky and crazy. And, you know, it was the first time there were any dramatic cable shows on television. It was HBO, it wasn't even TV. And so we had the show that takes place in a prison.
Mm-hmm.
And all this terrible stuff happens and there's no break. And so they hired me kind of as the commercial break in between. So like I wound up being the narrator in the show because I had to break the action sometimes. And so, because just terrible things happen in prison.
So I know. And then the show as well. I mean, your character, Harold Perrineau here on The Rich Eisen Show, one of the few rootable characters like on Oz, like
right.
Where we could root for you.
We
wanted you to succeed, wanted you to get out, wanted you to survive.
And you see what happens, you still get shanked.
Spoiler alert. I know. Did you ever, when you were shooting Oz, just need a break? Like need to take a minute from some of those scenes?
Yeah. One of the really fantastic things is we had a bunch of really amazing New York actors who are there and really committed to the craft of acting and mixed with a lot of people who weren't actors. We had actual gang members. We had these guys that were in the really early part of the UFC. They were our stunt guys who were doing all the fighting and stuff like that.
Is that right?
Yeah. There were a bunch of dudes. The Shamrocks came and they were, if you go back and look, you'll see Frank Shamrock, mm-hmm. and his brother. They were some of the early guys who were fighting at in our thing. Our buddy Gerald, yeah. TJ. Gerald would come by and he would do some stunts and fight and stuff like that. Chuck Zito, all these guys that aren't actors, but they were really, really willing to try crazy stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but because we would try such crazy stuff, sometimes you just had to go and, like, you know, let your brain, you know, calm down. Because it's just so much aggression.
Because it was on 10 o'clock at night on HBO. Sometimes Susie, you know who you know my wife.
Yeah.
We would sometimes not watch it live. We'd have to watch it earlier in the night because we couldn't just watch it and go to sleep.
Right. Yeah.
Couldn't. We would just be so stunned by what we saw.
Yeah.
And never would want to. I don't know what it just worked as a program to just make you think. Make you pause.
Yeah.
Make you reviled, you know, and feel terrible about the human condition sometimes.
Right.
And so you couldn't just be like, okay,
right.
Good night. Yeah. You know, just exactly. Snap the light off.
Yeah. Yeah. Know? It's really one of those things that really made you think about prison and reform and what we're actually doing in the country. Are we, you know, is it retribution? Are we reforming people? Mm-hmm. Are we, you know, what's actually happening there? And you realize that we just haven't really answered that question with prison. And you think prison is like, oh, it's locked away and it doesn't have anything to do with the rest of society, but that's not true. You know what I mean? The people in prison still have contacts outside of prison, and you start talking about who runs prisons and who goes to prison, and it's just such a big, difficult thing to figure out, and that's what the show actually talks a lot about. It's not just like, it's not as easy as some people think. You do something bad, you go to prison. It's
right.
Like, I know. So much more to think about.
And so many, the acting, your fellow cast members. You
such
and
great.
The fellow cast members.
That's great people.
Rita Moreno, Ernie Hudson, who we just saw as well. He's been on this program. Same thing with J.K. Simmons. Everything about his character was not his kind of tempo.
you know. At all, yeah.
I mean, not Schillinger, oh my God.
Terrible character, yeah.
And then there was you. You know, we were just...
You're right. It was kind of the only, rootable one.
And Rita Moreno, her character as well, rooting for her. You were in a ton of scenes with her. I mean, you're talking about a legend.
Like I said, I'm a musical theater dude. So
that's right.
I remember meeting Rita Moreno.
She had the EGOT way before she did Oz, you know?
I remember we had a closing night party, and I walked into this club when I was pretty young, and somebody goes, Harold! And I look over, and it's Rita Moreno screaming my name.
In a club?
In a club in New York.
You're like, wow.
What? I was like, we're here.
And you must have watched The Electric Company as a kid, too. You know?
I mean, The Electric Company. One of my favorite musicals ever was West Side Story.
Sure.
When she was dating Marlon Brando, like, I just love Rita Moreno. I don't know what to say. And so, Electric Company.
Did you ask her about Marlon Brando?
I did. I won't tell anybody. I won't tell anybody.
But you did?
Yeah, of course. Bitch. She called my name in a club. That gave me, like, ask away.
And you went there, huh?
Not that night. But it felt like we were friends.
Very good. And Harold Perrineau here on The Rich Eisen Show. When you were shooting Lost, did they have any idea where season two or anything was going at all?
Look, they were saying all the time that they did.
Mm-hmm.
And it turns out maybe they didn't. but, you know, they had a lot of ideas. But, you know, it was really at the time, they could be so wild. And really, at the end of the day, that's really what the fun of Lost was.
Mm-hmm.
They could just, like, write the wildest things and make it all work and be super, super creative. And so, for me, I know lots of people, like, upset with the way it ended and things like that. But for me, it was always the journey. The journey was always, like, this is the thing that's fun. Now, people keep comparing our show from to Lost because we have, you know, myself, Jack Bender, who's the director, mm-hmm. who's in Lost, Jeff Pinkner. But these guys actually do have an ending. I don't know what the ending is. I purposefully don't know what the ending is. Yeah, I don't want to play anything before, you know, I should.
Right.
So I don't know what it is, but I do know that there's a giant place that they're trying to get to. and they really know this is how this ends. So
sitting here in season two, they know how it ends. They knew it when they started. Okay.
They knew that they were going from here to here. They keep phrasing it like, look, if you're taking a trip from LA to New York, we're going to get to New York. Mm-hmm. That's where we're going. We might take a detour in Arizona. We might take a little turnaround in Mississippi, but we're going here.
Sure.
And so they know where it's, so we do know where it's going. So fans get a little scared because they think Lost kind of left them out.
Right. Well, I just saw you with a hatch and a ballerina. You know, I mean,
it's scary.
It's kind of, that's the only thing missing was the smoke monster. You know what I mean?
Exactly right. Exactly right.
Harold Perrineau here on the Rich Eisen Show. So last one for you here, Harold, is, your bona fides in terms of musical theater and performances have been established. If I'm not mistaken, you have had placed in front of you on your phone a certain musical performance by one of the members of this program that occurred in New York City recently.
Oh, yes, I did.
And that would be T.J. Jefferson.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And this was his karaoke in
his
New York
City? His karaoke in New York City. My buddy Gerald sent it to me.
Gerald sent you...
a clip.
The clip is... him singing
Thank You for Being a Friend, My Friend, or whatever, the Golden Girls.
Golden Girls theme.
and remixing it. He was singing that, and he threw in some Biggie.
I had to.
He threw in
just like
Friends. Who's that?
Houdini.
Just like Estelle Getty would have.
Exactly right.
I told you the song was longer than I anticipated, so I had to throw some other stuff in there just to keep the crowd moving.
How would you rate it?
I thought it was amazing. I thought it was brilliant. Look, singing wise, my man.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, you know.
But the creativity.
It's the performance, Harold. It's the performance.
Right? You had the crowd rocking.
How can I move the crowd, right?
That's exactly what he did.
If you can sing, you shouldn't be doing karaoke. You should not be doing it.
If only the rest of the human race had that sensibility, we'd all be better off for it.
Yeah. But I put on a show, Rich, is what I did.
You know that's what TJ does, is put on a show, sometimes to his own detriment. Because I don't know, we're gonna go there.
Oh boy!
When TJ, I don't know if you're aware, because you're a busy man. TJ was on The Price Is Right.
Oh, what?
Oh yes.
TJ.
Yeah.
TJ. How did I not know that about you?
TJ was on The Price.
I keep things.
Where's your price tag? Where is that? Did it fall off somewhere? Where you got it?
It's over here somewhere.
Okay. Yeah. His name tag and everything.
For real.
Oh, for real.
I love it.
For real. TJ got up there.
I love it.
And I think try to be too entertaining to focus on the pricing game.
Uh-huh.
Wound up with a ping pong table.
They only give me credit. I made it the whole way to the showcase showdown.
You did.
Right?
Did? And what did you walk away with?
A ping pong table.
Yeah.
Popcorn maker. George laughed. Everyone laughed. It was fun, Harold.
You are entertaining, my friend.
That's what I did.
That's what you do. I love it.
That's
I love
right.
it. I love it here, man. This is it. This whole show is it.
Thank you, sir.
You guys, this is fun.
There it is. That is the. that's it. Does that say it all? Does that say it all? And of course, we have now had our fun for 2+ years. We just removed trips/motorcycles and put anything we want under the word over. With him just like that. It's like the greatest meme ever.
You guys got to send me that for my phone as well.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
I send need, that to Gerald. Right?
I need
a thanks.
I need send to send it. Exactly to send it to Gerald.
Hey, Harold, real quick, one of your earliest things you did was one of my favorite movies, The King of New York.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So that means you got to work in a scene, one of the best scenes in the movie, where you try to rob Christopher Walken. It doesn't go the way you thought it would, but you still walked away with some cash. So
exactly.
Everyone's
and
got a
job.
Christopher Walken story. Yeah. So tell us, Harold, do you
nice.
One? He's Frank White.
Look at him.
Look at that.
He's an entertainer.
Everybody.
So do you have a good Christopher Walken story?
My only great Christopher Walken story was just like, it's not even a great story. And I don't do a good Christopher Walken, so
good.
I won't do any of that. My character is one of the first jobs I had. His name was Thug Leader Number One. It was a big role. It's a big role, you guys. Relax. and so because I had that character name and I knew it was going to be quick, I just thought he was not going to be interested in doing the scene with me. But he was so there and focused and interested and like I was like, oh, okay. I'm actually going to get to work with Christopher Walken. And I really did. It was one of my first, jobs. And he really was there to do the work. He actually influenced the way that I work all the time. Cause I've been on sets where guys, they're goofing off. They're not paying attention or whatever, but Walken, straight professionals, so generous, so courteous. And so let's get it done. That's my great Walken story.
So there you go.
Yeah.
So it calls you to respect future thug leader number one.
What's your character name, kid?
It doesn't matter where you are on the call sheet.
It doesn't matter at all.
No, thug leader number two, you could do that.
That's funny.
Harold Perrineau on Instagram. Everyone check out new episodes of From Sundays at 9 p.m. Eastern Time on MGM Plus, currently in season 2, and you can catch it right here on Roku anytime. It's been too long.
Hey, Rich, it's been too long. Great to see you. Thank you very much for having me here.
You got it. Back here to wrap up the show in a moment.
For decades, Rolling Stone has set the bar for entertainment publications. Today, Rolling Stone Music Now takes over in podcast form. Songwriter and producer Jamie Hartman reacts to the Ed Sheeran verdict.
You need to create something new, and of course you're going to use traditional paths to get there. Are you going to sue the Rolling Stones for making a samba out of Sympathy for the Devil? Are you going to sue Elvis Presley for writing Bossa Nova? It's like saying you're not allowed to use a pencil to create a piece of art.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.
There you are, you're clapping. Hey, yes, you're clapping.
Oh, he's sweating. He's sweating.
Wait a minute.
Brow.
So he made it out of contestants, Ralph?
Yes,
he made it out of contestants. I got a new car! Yes! TJ can win a car! Let's go! It's amazing! All right, the Master Key is the game. Master Key is the game.
Oh, my God.
This is going to take a while. Okay, here we go. Oh, popcorn machine.
Oh, I'll take that if you want that, TJ.
By the way, you've got to bring in this popcorn machine if you win it.
Yeah.
I want this popcorn.
Oh,
41. It's not $71. 41. It's 41. That's one key. That's one key. Grab the key. Take the middle key. Take the middle key. There's five keys.
Yes.
He takes the middle key. Oh, he's not looking. He takes the second to the right key.
I didn't look.
That's right.
Here's another key. Here's a basket. $584. That's a $58 basket. It's not an $84 basket.
No way.
What's in it?
You got to get what's in it, too. It's an $84 basket.
It's
an $84 basket.
Here's where I messed up. I listened to the
people. That's an $84 basket.
I listened to the people.
Come on, TJ.
TJ.
$84. No, it went $58.
No! TJ!
Oh, he only has one key.
We need to find a friend.
Oh, my gosh. Come on, TJ. It's an $84 key.
Uh-oh. Master
Key.
Right.
Does it unlock the... Okay, it does not.
Coffee maker.
No coffee maker.
Okay, he's going to unlock the electric bike.
No.
Okay, all right. Does it unlock the car?
Oh, my God.
Does it unlock the car?
Let's go.
TJ. Does it unlock the car?
Does it unlock the
car? He's turning the key. No.
TJ.
That's so good.
It's still one of the greatest
ever. So good.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, we just showed the Price is Right appearance.
You know what's funny about that? It's on my DVR. To this day, I have not watched that.
By the way, I have it on my DVR, too.
I've never watched it.
In the same way, I'll never watch that episode of Succession again. It was too tough to watch. Why did you watch that? All right. Let's do it. Hit it.
What's more likely out the door?
What's more likely?
Never say never, but never.
All right, Christopher, what do you got?
First up, hey, did you see who's on the cover of Madden?
Yeah.
It's Josh Allen.
You know who led the NFL in interceptions last year?
It's Josh Allen. Yeah.
More likely that Josh Allen wins the MVP or repeats as interceptions leader.
He's more likely to be the MVP. I'm telling you, the mistakes of him trying to do too much in the red zone, the Bills know it. They identified it. Allen knows it. He has identified it himself. I think he will be better at it just because he is better at everything. Every year he's come back to the Bills, which is every year. And Dalton Kincaid and that running game that they have gotten a battering ram in Latavius Murray, and they have gotten a battering ram in Damian Harris. He's more likely to be the MVP than to repeat his interception champion. What else you got over there?
Let's stick with the AFC quarterbacks. How about the division in the AFC to have two Pro Bowl quarterbacks, the North or the West?
Whew. Great one, Chris, because you know Burrow and Mahomes are in. So is it Lamar or Herbert?
Ooh. Or is it Kenny Pickett or Russell Wilson?
Yeah. I'll go West, young
Deshaun
man.
Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, or Brady, okay. As you point out for the Raiders, right? Since that's your latest
tinfoil
hat. Yeah, I'll go West.
He's still not retired.
I'll go West. I'm beginning to coalesce around the Chargers as having a better year. I'm beginning to coalesce. Terrible album name. What else you got?
Hey, the last couple of years, you know who's had a really good offense? The Dallas Cowboys. Yeah. They're averaging 29 points per game.
That's Kellen Moore going
to the
Chargers.
Last couple of years.
All right, huh? Here comes Brian Schottenheimer, son of
Marty.
And
guess what? They boot him. Now it's Mike McCarthy calling the plays. So what's more likely? The Cowboys offense averages more or less than 29 with McCarthy at the helm?
Less. He's going to run it more. And if Pollard is not going to be the home run hitter from running it, I think it'll be less. Well, I think it'll be less.
Then Dalvin Cook will be the guy.
Well,
so.
Now
then it'll be
more. Yeah.
So I'll go less.
I'll go less just for you know what's and giggles.
I'm going to go more. We're average like 40 a game this year.
There you go. Wow. He's chiming in. He didn't chime in on the other two, did he?
I had nothing to say.
Didn't care, did he? Speaking of Dalvin Cook.
That's good. By the way, you caught me on that one. I didn't see that punch coming.
I'm actually listening. Speaking of Dalvin Cook, he's available. Did you guys hear that? Who's more likely to be on a playoff team this year, DeAndre Hopkins or Dalvin Cook?
Ooh, good one.
Nice.
I'll go on. They're not on their teams yet. So what am I basing it on?
You're guessing.
This is like honestly, like we're playing war. I have no idea what card's coming out of the deck.
We know the teams that are interested.
No, we don't.
Yes, we do.
All right,
we
I'll go Dalvin Cook. I will go Dalvin Cook out of all due respect. D-Hop, we know he's definitely visiting Tennessee. That's the only team name we know, and I don't know if Tennessee is going to be a playoff team compared to who Dalvin Cook is going to be associated with. I'll go Dalvin Cook.
Well, D-Hop is rumored Buffalo, great. Kansas City.
Same thing with, I'm sure neither of those teams will be interested in the right price for Dalvin Cook. What else?
All right, some wide receivers are coming back from injury this year. Look pretty good so far, OTAs. Who's more likely to be back to their old form, Cooper Kupp or Mike T? Can't guard Mike.
I'll go Cooper Kupp, man. Mike T, it's been 2 years. Kupp is, come on, man. And Derek Carr is new there. Matthew Stapp, stop it. Move on. Honestly, they should remove your season tickets. It should strip you of your season tickets. You don't even know whose house it is. Come on, Chris. Whose house?
Visitor's house.
Chris, whose house?
Say it. For Brock.
Whose house?
Ben Franklin's house?
How tough is it?
What?
Ben Franklin's house. That's what
I said. I didn't want to talk over you guys.
House plus.
Big Face 20's house.
What else?
I mean, I'm like the piff, whatever the cost is. Mike, you can switch music. More likely to be NBA Finals MVP, Joker, Murray, or anybody else?
Oh, come on.
Oh, I'll go Joker. It's pretty much, come on. Yeah, I'll go Joker.
I like what Murray's doing.
I'll go Joker.
All right, last NBA Finals one. Nuggets win in five or any other result?
Well, I said Nuggets in six, so I'll go any other result.
You're sticking with six?
Yeah. I think the Heat take game four, maybe, and then the Nuggets take the next two.
No chance
Thanks
the
for playing.
Win. Is that what we're saying?
Pretty much.
I'm saying Nuggets in five.
Thanks for playing, everybody. Much appreciated. I'm taking my family on a vacation.
Conspiracy theories. Paranormal.
UFOs.
Science teacher Andrew Greenwood stated that a child ran into his classroom and was hysterically screaming and talking about the flying saucer outside.
Hundreds of children ran out of their classrooms to go outside and see this unidentified flying object that was just above the school.
Just imagine a bunch of kids running out of school. Most of them probably just ran home.
Theories of the Third Kind on YouTube or wherever you listen.